Straight Shooter with Stephen A.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the special edition of Straight Shooter with yours truly. You know, I like to come to you with a couple of shows a week when I'm not on Sirius XM, POTUS Radio Channel 124 every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m., by the way, Eastern Standard Time. But there's a little chaos brewing. Some would say it's not brewing. It's been around for a little while, but we haven't paid nearly as much attention to it as we should have. And that is the cachet of President Donald Trump that is dissipating before our very eyes. Everything on the right seems to be unraveling. It seems to be chaos brewing. And I think everybody needs to pay attention to it because, damn it, it don't look like it's going to go away. You got the MAGA right against this man. This is some crazy, crazy stuff going on right here. We never predicted this stuff would happen. But with the war in Iran, the attacks in Gaza, the Epstein files, which just won't go away, you got a whole bunch of people, and none of them that I'm going to play are on the left, just going the hell off about the president of the United States. And keep in mind that it's going on while stuff is happening. There's a jobs report, for example, that came out. The U.S. labor market showed a strong rebound in March, last month, with employers adding 178,000 jobs and the unemployment rate dipping to 4.3%. This follows a weak revised loss of 133,000 jobs in February. Hiring in March was driven by health care and a recovery from earlier weather and strike-related downturns. This is what they're saying. Non-farm payrolls increased by 178,000, exceeding expectations. Unemployment rate dropped to 4.3%, partly due to a reduction in the labor force. Can't forget that. Job growth by sector. Healthcare added 76,000 jobs, while construction added 26,000 jobs, and transportation and warehousing added 21,000 jobs. Revisions. February's jobs numbers were revised down to a loss of 133,000 from a previously reported 92,000 loss. And wages, average hourly earnings increased by 0.2% for the month and 3.5% over the past year, indicating a slower pace of wage growth. All of those things are important because ultimately that's what it comes down to right now. They're not competing facts. They're the same month, two different snapshots. That's what you're talking about here. The Bureau of Labor Statistics often revises the prior month's numbers when it releases a new report. So we have to remember all of that. But I'm bringing all of that up to say that it doesn't appear, regardless of how turned off we may be, that Trump is doing that awful of a job. But if you listen to the folks on the right, who have been staunch supporters of his, oh, my Lord, they are going against him. I thought it was just me. I'm only being facetious right there. Obviously, I didn't think so. I'm not being literal. But his speech the other night, where he gave a speech about, you know, a progress report on the war in Iran, which I'm being told is going to end in about 3 weeks, according to my sources. Going to end in about 3 weeks. Anybody trying to believe it, we'll believe it when we see it, okay? But the bottom line is, Trump is talking, and I'm looking at him, and I got to admit to y'all, it's not just pretty hard to listen to him speak when you compare it to how former President Barack Obama sounded whenever he gave a speech. I mean, to listen to Trump, it's just hard. Half the time he comes across as incoherent. He's mumbling and stumbling and bumbling. I mean, he don't sound much better than Joe Biden. He don't sound much better than Joe Biden did. I'm just going to keep it a buck with you. He just doesn't, okay? But that's me, a centrist, an independent, who leads right fiscally and left with everything else. He just doesn't sound like he's all there. And it's not only hard to listen to him when you compare it to Obama, it's hard to listen to him when you see those old footages of Trump, whether he was on an Oprah Winfrey show or something else, sharp as a tack. Age and attrition have clearly kicked in, all right? He doesn't look the same. He doesn't sound the same. I remember when he caught Biden during the debate, June 27th, 2024, when he embarrassed the then sitting president And Biden was stumbling and mumbling and stumbling. And Trump said, I don't understand what he said. I don't think he understands what he said. That's what you actually can say about Trump half the time now, because he don't seem like he's always there. You don't believe me. Look at right-wing zealot himself, Alex Jones, and what he's saying.
And he does look sick. And he does babble and, you know, sound like the brain's not doing too hot. And so we just cut bait on Trump, and we just mobilize against the Democrats. And we mobilize against neocons, we primary them, and we just fight even harder, because look at how we've turned the tide. Look at all the good we've done. There's a fourth turning. Populist, nationalists, conservatives are winning everywhere. There's a Christian reawakening. And Trump is just a minor figure in all of that now. And we have to be appreciative of the old Trump that went through so much and got so much done. And that's the Trump we remember. And we're just sad because that happens. We need to be sad about Trump. This is not funny. This is not good. But he's gone. And that's it. And all the people rallied around him. You can see Hegseth's freaked out. You can see the press secretary's freaked out. They're being loyal. They think it's the lesser of two evils. And I just, Trump needs intervention. He needs to take some time off. We need to pray for Trump. The Holy Spirit touch his heart and loose him from whatever evil control he's under. I'm serious. And I think that's the answer. We need to pray for President Trump. We need to pray for other people to be awakened.
Oh, my Lord. Did you hear what that man just said? That's Alex Jones, y'all. I mean, that man is so right, I don't know if he knows how to turn left. That man said, Trump is gone. That's what he said. We need to mobilize against him and the neoconservatives. That's what he said. And he also, of course, said to mobilize against the Democrats. That's a given. But he's talking about turning against a whole bunch of Republicans out there. That's Alex Jones. I mean, I almost caught a heart attack listening to him because I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Then he brought up his health. Doesn't look good. Damn right he doesn't look good. Trump don't look like he's exercised in 20 years. I now see, you know, the belly's getting bigger now. You know, when you got, ladies and gentlemen, I'm being serious here because I went through it, okay? Not to that degree, but I went through it. When you got the fat laying in your belly and your abdominal area like that, that's fat sitting on your organs. That's a heart attack waiting to happen. You see somebody with a belly like that, be concerned. Be concerned. But for Alex Jones to say that, did you see him? He looked like he was getting ready to cry. He looked like he was getting ready to cry. I couldn't believe it. But if that wasn't shocking to you, because you ain't never seen me put these people on no footage or anything, no sound, nothing on my show. But damn it, this was a special occasion. I couldn't believe it. How about right-wing zealot, the dude in his 20s, but got a following now, got that young audience out there now, converting a lot of cats to conservatism and beyond, I mean, on the right, Mr. Nick Fuentes. Did you, if you haven't heard this, I mean, I hope you sit down. You might catch a heart attack. Listen to this.
I wore this stupid fucking ridiculous hat when I was in college, like an idiot. When I was 18, I had people threatening to kick my ass. I wore this in the cafeteria. I became a pariah. And look at what it has profited all of us. They said, no more endless wars. They said, tariffs, mate, we're going to win so big. They said, we're going to build a wall. Mexico will pay for it. It just got 10 feet taller. It was a lie. All we can do is stop being suckered one single more day. I'm done. And I'm not saying, hey, I'm a Democrat and I'm in favor of feminism. I'm not left wing, but I'll play both sides. If Republicans don't do what I want, I'll go with the enemy. I'll go sleep with the best friend. You break your promises, I'll go to the other team. It doesn't mean I believe in them, but I'll go to them because I know they're going to fuck you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Nick Fuentes, a far-right extremist, to say the least, who is talking about going to the other side, quote, just to fuck you. That's what he said. You go on American Jewish Community website, you know how they describe him in their lead? Nick Fuentes is a far-right extremist and white nationalist whose rhetoric and online organizing have made him one of the most visible figures on the far right. Here is what to know about Nick Fuentes, including how he promotes anti-Semitism and his involvement in the America First movement. That's how they describe him. That's how a lot of people on the left describe him. And he's talking about joining them just to get back at Trump and the right. I mean, what the hell is going on in America? You talk about only in America. This is some only in America stuff right here going on. This stuff is crazy. It's unbelievable. Left got a chance after all. Left got a chance. If the Democrats just don't do anything, grab some lunch, some dinner, chill out on Capitol Hill. Don't do anything. Don't say anything. Because the way Trump is going right now, the more he talks, the more he alienates his base. And without his base, he stands no chance. Meaning of the GOP winning the midterms. We ain't talking about him running for a third term. This stuff is crazy. It's unbelievable that we're watching this. That wasn't the only one. There was a compilation of individuals. Some dude put together some video on social media. I mean, the faces that I saw there and what they were saying, including Candace Owens. And I'm like, what? I can't believe what I'm hearing. I can't believe what I'm seeing. Here's the latest piece of evidence.
Just listen to some of his biggest supporters, both then and now. Listen to what they have to say now.
I want to say, what is happening to the man that I supported, you supported?
And I will tell you right now, I do not recognize our president.
Well, look, I have not exactly found the correct words to communicate how I feel about President Donald Trump. I sort of ignore the topic of his existence altogether.
It just seems so insane based on what he ran on. I mean, this is why a lot of people feel betrayed, right?
You buried the Epstein files. There is no border wall. You didn't deliver on mass deportations. You cut corporate tax rates for the rich by cutting Medicaid again. No infrastructure bill. No middle class tax cuts. You got to refund the tariffs. And now we're in a regime change war with Iran. That's the breaking point. I'm out.
Did y'all see that? Did you see Fuentes break down what he hasn't done? He broke it down better than the Democrats. He broke it down better than the Democrats. There's no border wall. There's no flourishing economy. You got the war in Iran. You understand? He's breaking it on. He's breaking it down better than the Democrats. What y'all need to talk for? Let him talk. Let him talk. Candace Owens like, I don't even think about him. I try not to even talk about him. Megyn Kelly, Piers Morgan, Joe Rogan. Now, he's a bit different than others. He just endorsed Trump before the election. Kamala Harris, big mistake, not showing up to Joe Rogan's podcast to talk to him. Big mistake on her part. Trump was out there. She wasn't. Just listen to my interview with Donna Brazile, you know, that aired today on my YouTube channel, Stephen A. Smith Show YouTube channel, Straight Shooter. Go check it out. It's right there. Me and Donna Brazile. Noted, renowned Democratic strategist talking about how Democrats blew the election. Just listen to him. Yo, it's all there. Joe Rogan's in that video too. Everybody is turning against Trump. Few as consistently, however, and as cogent and as surgical as Megyn Kelly. Listen to her.
President Trump there saying, just like the ballroom, we're way ahead of schedule. I mean, like, this is, we're talking about American troops dying, like putting their lives at risk. It's not just like the ballroom. Like, this is, and it's not just like a fun little excursion into Iran. We've already lost 13 servicemen and women. We had another 25 injured over the weekend when Iran hit the Saudis and our plant, our base there. So we had another 25 American service personnel injured there, many severely. Severely injured. What does that mean? Lost limbs, severe head wounds. What's they don't tell us. That information has been largely censored from the American media. We don't know. We don't believe that we know the full extent of the deaths either. And we don't believe we know the full extent of exactly how all these planes have come down, that we're getting the full story.
I told y'all before, Megyn Kelly, the real deal. You say what you want about her attitude or personality, some of the people that she's attacked, because she will come at you, no doubt about it. I respect, I've been on her show a couple of times. She's a renowned journalist first and a lawyer by trade. You know, she's not easy to mess with. And when she comes for you, she's coming. And the more you listen to her, the more you know she's coming for Trump. No matter what happened for Trump in the past, his base never fragmented. You got Marjorie Taylor Greene there going off. What happened to America First? You got people bringing up his money and how he's made himself rich. Is it $1.5 billion? Is it $6 billion? How much money is he putting in his pocket? They remind the folks about how his children talking about we're going to be the richest family in the world. And what has America stood to benefit from it? Right now, I gave you the economic numbers. U.S. job growth in February had been revised from initially being reported 92,000 jobs lost to a total loss of 133,000, but it recouped in March with 178,000 gain. But if you lost 133,000 in February and you got 78,000, okay, in March, well, it's basically 45,000 jobs in the green over the last 2 months. We supposed to be excited about that? You got a situation right now. Union strikes, shutdowns have impacted the numbers, both good and bad. So we all know that. But in the end, overall, the economy, at least according to some Republicans, is expected to boom once the drama is over regarding government shutdowns. And of course, the war in Iran, the Iran noise. Overall, here's the bottom line. Trump has gotten in his own way because he won't shut the hell up. Every time he's on camera, he looks worse. He's not coherent. He's mumbling and stumbling. You got people on the right bringing him on and just letting him ramble and just letting him talk, not realizing the more you do it, the more he sounds like Biden did. It's pretty bad. And it's getting worse. And they're noticing. Let me give you the names again. Alex Jones, Nick Fuentes, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Candace Owens. Megyn Kelly, Piers Morgan, Joe Rogan. It's getting bad. It's really, really getting bad. And at the rate it's going to cost the GOP the midterms. And once the Democrats regain at least one House of Congress, that's where you can neutralize them. And by the way, Trump thinking he's helped himself with these last two moves, getting rid of Kristi Noem for the Department of Homeland Security after she spent $200 million promoting herself instead of doing her damn job and embarrassing herself at that position, got the husband on social media, you know, with fake breast on, okay, which made her embarrassed. And embarrassed her and her family. They asking for privacy all of a sudden when they weren't willing to give anybody any. Then you got that going on. And then recently Trump gets rid of the attorney general and Pam Bondi. He reassigns her or she's going into the private sector. So basically she's been relieved of her duties. And according to the reports, he told her that once she got into the beast, the motor vehicle that took him to the Supreme Court the other day to hear oral arguments about birthright citizenship. According to the reports, she was informed once she got in the beast, it was time. So she had to sit there and play it off and act like she hadn't just gotten fired. So we could look at the Trump making changes. But the fact is, the man who's so beautiful, who's so marvelous, who deserves to be celebrated so much, who knows what the hell he's doing, who knows how to hire the right people, had to fire his Department of Homeland Security Secretary and the Attorney General of the United States at the Department of Justice over the last 3 weeks. So within a year and a few and two and 3 or 4 months on the job, he's had to get rid of people. Don't seem like great hires to me. It's coming apart by the seams. It's not just the Republicans messing up. It's the president really messing up. Really badly. And who would have thunk it? His own base is turning against him. Things are very, very bad right now, regardless of how to make it look. About the only thing that looks worse is the city of New York, which is where I'm going right now. Because I got to talk about my city, who is crumbling worse than Washington, as far as I'm concerned. It's pretty damn bad. Now, we have asked Zohran Mamdani to come on this show on several occasions. We've gotten a rigmarole. We're coming. When can we come? This date, that date. It ain't that damn hard, ladies and gentlemen. My office is right in New York. He right down the block. He ain't come because he don't want to come yet. Because there's questions to answer. And I'm waiting for him. Yeah, he called into the show during the Andrew Cuomo interview when I only had 8 minutes left on the air. And I couldn't have him sit down and give him an opportunity to explain what his vision for New York was and how he was going to pull off stuff for New Yorkers. Free child care, which it appears that he may have pulled off, and free supermarkets and free buses and all this free stuff like nobody's paying for it. Somebody's going to have to pay for it now. And evidently, it ain't just the rich. It's more than that. But rather than me talk about this, let me kick it to my next guest. As a guy born in the Bronx, raised in Hollis, Queens, New York City, I'm always going to be partial to New York. I'm a native New Yorker all my damn life, and I love it. And I hate to see and hear the kind of things that I'm seeing and hearing about my city, and particularly from my next guest who has been on it, and I mean all over it better than most. He is the founder of Progressive Action, a New York City-based labor and community movement that speaks out on various issues affecting New York City. Please welcome for the first time to Straight Shooter with yours truly, the one and only Tramell Thompson out of New York. What's up, Big Tom? How are you, man? How's everything?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me, man. This is an honor to be in the same podcast with you to talk, you know, New York City politics, which is very dear to my heart.
Well, you know it a hell of a lot better than most, especially me. But before we even get into it, I just want to give people a little bit about your background. You became known for taking on the New York MTA as a subway conductor who protested the policies, if I remember correctly. Talk about what you experienced after shedding light on issues within the MTA. In other words, it assisted into you becoming who you are right now.
When I first came to the MTA, I thought that this was a great job. I thought that we had a strong union at the time. And 2 months in, I was like, this can't be life, basically. And I decided to like, I need to make a change. I was a conductor. I was hired as a conductor. And I didn't want to spend my time opening and closing doors like 25 years. Decided like, what can I do to change within this MTA, because I did plan to spend my entire career there. And one decision I made was to go. So I signed school. I went to the College of New Rochelle straight 4 years while working for EA. But I wanted to do more to help my coworkers in a fight against everything that the MTA was doing bad to their members. We're talking about not providing reasonable accommodation for women on the job. We're talking about heavy-handed discipline for workers that was unnecessary, unneeded. We're talking about abusing the workers' compensation system that the MTA still does today. So, you know, I just wanted to get involved to create a change for my coworkers and myself.
When were you hired by the MTA? You said it was 2 months in and you know, you knew this was something wrong here. When were you hired?
I was hired in 2013, and you know, with the MTA, they got this thing where they think that your induction date is your date of birth. They think that you haven't lived life prior to coming to the MTA. And I already came in there with knowledge. And I knew right from wrong, and I was just one of the few that was willing to stand up to the entity, the MTA, and the union to fight for the injustices that they do every single day.
What kind of things did you see as a conductor that made you take these positions specifically?
They try to break down people's morale. Like I said, with the pregnant women situation, would you believe even in 2026, there's no true reasonable accommodation for pregnant women in the MTA? We talking about the fear and intimidation both brought on by the MTA and the union. See, I'm going to tell you this. This is an exclusive for your show, right? Back in 2023, okay. I got assaulted at work by two union reps where I got my leg broke in two places. The MTA moved to fire me, and the union, for the most part, moved to fire me also, all because of my whistleblowing and calling them out. So I guess they thought that that was going to stop me. Only thing it did was made me dig my feet into the ground more and challenge them more. And I end up winning my union position for vice president of New York City for TW Local 100, representing train operators, conductors, and tower operators in New York City.
So are you telling me that union members, your co-workers, colleagues, contemporaries, a couple of cats attacked you and broke your leg because you were a whistleblower and the union tried to get you fired as well? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And not only did they try to get me fired, they succeeded in getting me fired in August 2024. I ended up filing a lawsuit, which would allow me to run for my union position. And the members of my union voted me in. You know, after they broke my leg, after they got me terminated, they thought that would have been the end of me. And I just came back stronger, better, and ready for war.
Was taking on the MTA the beginning of your activism, or have you always been that brother?
I've always been that brother. A lot of people know that I was part of the reason why Stop and Frisk stopped in New York. I always had a good job, and police one day pulled me over in my CLK 500 Benz. And they felt like I shouldn't be driving a car like that in the Bed-Stuy community. And they pulled me over. They searched my car. They actually broke my glove compartment. And I felt like they violated my rights. I went to the precinct to try to figure out, you know, what police did this. They said no police fit that description. I said, so you got some rogue people acting like they police, pulling back young blacks in the community. I end up filing a CCRB report. The CCRB back in touch with me probably like a year and a half later, finding the officers. I end up suing when no lawyer wanted to take my case. I did find one lawyer that was with my case. I couldn't believe that I was able to substantiate these complaints against the police for a regular stop frisk. And I end up winning my lawsuit them. And then after that, when we threatened to find other people who was targeted by the police in this manner, the city got rid of the stop and frisk.
We're talking to Tramell Thompson right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, founder of the Progressive Action, a New York City-based labor and community movement, speaking out on various issues. What I find so interesting and so compelling about your story, Tramell, is that, you know what, one would easily say you sound like a liberal, but I'm looking at your videos and you are all over the liberals, especially Zahra Mamdani, who you campaigned against essentially and supported Curtis Sliwa, not to mention Governor Hochul. I want to play some of these videos, just a couple of them, and I want the audience to hear back to back some of the positions that you take. Griff, get ready to play video number one, and you know the theme of it, the civil servant's job. Play that one for me, please, right now, so the audience can see what this brother's been doing.
Civil servants is nothing but slavery rebranded. Let me explain. To my white brothers and sisters, that may be hard for you to digest. So in your case, we go call it classism. Back then, slave masters bragged to other slave masters who had the strongest slaves, the hardest workers, and the most disciplined plantations. Right now, modern bosses brag about who keeps the system running at all costs, even during a state of emergency.
Speaking of New Jersey, if you ever considered a full shutdown like New Jersey Transit, even just for a piece of the storm?
No.
Back then, slaves was treated as a status symbol, proof that a master had control, dominance, and order. Now, workers are treated as proof of managerial power. Look at my system still running, not because it's safe, but because they used discipline to keep workers in check. Back then, the measure of success wasn't human survival, it was output. Cotton pick, sugar harvested.
That was a good one. But this one right here, Tramell Thompson, I like that one. I like that one a lot, but not as much as I like this one that I'm about to play, where you basically titled it, "If I Was the Mayor of New York City," meaning you. If you were the mayor of New York City, play that one for me, fellas.
So everybody keep asking me, if I was mayor, what would I do? All right, let's talk real solutions. First thing I'm not doing, I'm not slapping homeowners with a 9.5% property tax increase. I'm not touching nothing with the retirees, and I'm not messing with the rainy day fund. You don't punish working families before fixing government waste. New York's budget is $127 billion. Don't tell me the only option is squeezing the middle class. So fix number one, tax the right people. If revenue is the issue, then yes, higher taxes on wealthy earners, higher corporate taxes on billion-dollar companies operating in the city. Wall Street bonuses are back. Corporate profits are up. Why are homeowners and the working class the first targets? Solution two, freeze bureaucracy. Hiring freeze on non-essential administrative positions. No layoffs, just stop growing the bureaucracy. Let attrition reduce payroll naturally. Solution three, migrant spending. Emergency migrant spending gets reevaluated immediately. New York City has already spent billions of dollars on this crisis. Over $4 billion in city funds in the past 2 years. Hotel contracts, emergency shelter contracts, temporary housing at premium rates. You cannot run emergency spending permanently. Federal government created a border crisis. New York taxpayers shouldn't be left holding the entire bill.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. I catch every one of your videos, bro. I don't miss them. I don't miss them. That's why I had to have you on this show. Let's get right to it, man. What do you think? I mean, it's a rhetorical question damn near, but what do you think of the job Zohran Mamdani has been doing as mayor of New York City thus far?
Horrible. Horrible. You know, whenever you talk about taxing the middle class and the working class and, you know, people who's trying to build generational wealth, who's not rich, it's a 100% job. I don't believe that the working class, the middle class should be used as political fodder to get what he trying to get from the governor. We should never be up for debate for his ideology. We should be protected. The working class, the class, we make this city what it is, New York City. We talking about police officers, transit workers, teachers, sanitation, parks department. We make this city what it is, and you talking about harming us just the whole Hochul account, which I am 100% against. Like, go with the out in New York City. We got Hochul coming up for re-election this year. Draw your line in the sand, Zohran. If she's not willing to do what she's supposed to do and what you're saying is tax the rich or find ways to more tax incentives from the wealthy, then say that you're not going to vote for her. It's as simple as that. Do not use the middle or the working class as political fodder. You get two thumbs down, the labor leader of New York City, Tramell Thompson, when you do that.
Is that... I feel exactly the same way that you do, especially about this new estate tax threshold proposal that he's putting forth. It was like you taxing cats their estate. It was once upon a time at $7.35 million. That's where it was. Now he's saying they're going to tax you when you make you at $750,000. So for people out there that may not comprehend it, understand something. You had to get up to $7.35 million before they could tax you, all right? Now all you got to do is have a home that's worth over $750,000, and you're talking about folks getting taxed. Well, who the hell are those people? Those are going to be middle-class people and lower folks, that lower-class folks than the middle class. Did I miss something, Tramell, because you know this better than me. Did I miss something when I said that?
Yeah, you not miss, but we gonna add something on. Zohran just championed a way for homeowners to turn like attics, basements, non-living spaces to get permits for them to turn those into living spaces. Whenever you turn an attic or a basement or non-living space into a living space, the property value of your house goes up. So now maybe your house was $650,000 or $700,000. You below that estate tax threshold. When you add that extra living space or living component to your property, what happens? Now it goes to $800,000, $900,000, or whatever the case may be. He just thinks that he's slick with these moves that he's making. When you look at what his Sia Weaver. I think that's his housing advisor, which she has done. She wants to wage a middle class, a war against the middle class and homeowners, saying that, well, you know what? Black families are going to be collateral damage. Do you know how hard it is for blacks to get to be homeowners, not only in America, but New York City? The struggles that we went through throughout the years to nonchalantly say that black folks are going to be casually affected by this. Like, I don't know what the city was thinking when they voted Zohran in, but I hope they prepared to hold him accountable and not make excuses for him via what I call that term, political tribalism.
Well, if that's the case, tell me why. First of all, before I ask this next question, would you describe yourself as a liberal, a leftist, a centrist, a Republican? What would you describe yourself as?
I am a independent that goes by the ideology, in the words of the famous Janet Jackson, who I love. What have you done for me lately? That's what I'm on. I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're independent. What have you done for me lately? I'm not supporting no politicians who have not shown what they have done for the working class, middle class, working poor, or people in my community.
Let me tell you why I asked that question, because here's how I view from I'm a centrist. I'm an independent, just like you. I lean right fiscally. I lean left socially. All right. That's me. But let me say this to you. To me, it was a no-brainer that Andrew Cuomo was the best candidate. And it was very, very simple to me. I looked at a dude who was a three-term governor en route to a fourth before the scandal hit that ended up getting him out of office. And then the minute it got him out of office, it went away. So it was like people did it just to get him out of office, right? He was about to coast to a fourth term. And I'm looking at it very simplistically. If you know how to run a state, you damn sure should know how to run a city. So my attitude was, we needed somebody that was an adult in the room that knew the issues and knew what to do about them and had enough connections to get it done. That's simple. And it was a grown-up in the room, as opposed to a 33-year-old going on 34 years of age and never ran anything, okay? But you supported Curtis Sliwa. And I'm asking you, based on what you know about this city, based on the needs that this city has, why would you vote for somebody like a Curtis Sliwa? Why would you support somebody like him, who was a Republican that never ran in government? You know, he's a guardian angel. We love and respect Curtis Sliwa. But he never ran government before. Why would you support that as opposed to an Andrew Cuomo?
That's a great question, and it's easy for me to answer. So back in 2012, April 1st, 2012, Andrew Cuomo signed into law something called Tier 6, which is essentially a poverty pension for state workers, which the transit authority falls up under. In 2019, Cuomo vetoed the Tier 6 bill fix, which he wanted to keep in place this poverty pension. And what I mean by poverty pension, if you have transit workers or any type of state workers that put 25 years, 30 years, 35 years into an agency, blood, sweat, and tears, they should be able to retire with a pension that they could take care of themselves and their families. That Tier 6 pension that Andrew Cuomo gave us ensures that people will not be able to retire after 25, 30, 35 years. They will have to work until they die. And if Cuomo would have fixed Tier 6 in 2019, because it passed the Assembly and it passed the Senate, he vetoed it still. If he would have just did that, he would have had my support. But he did something to ensure that state workers would not be able to retire after 25, 30, 35 years. And that's why I could not, in good conscience, support Andrew Cuomo. Simple as that.
Do you know what his reason was for vetoing that?
I don't know what his reason was, but he did promise my union back then that he would do the right thing. And when he didn't do the right thing, he vetoed it. It left a sour taste in our mouth. I just could not support him with that. There's no way possible that you care about the work in the middle class and you ensuring that we cannot retire. And we got to remember, when Cuomo first came in, I think 2009, 2010, he waged an offense against unions. He was not a friend to labor unions. So if you're not a friend to labor unions, you're not a friend to me. And it's as simple as that.
Right. But But let me push back on you with this. What if the objective is to keep businesses in New York City knowing that there would be job growth and what have you, and as a result, because people are employed and they got money in their pocket and businesses are here and the economy would be fueled, what if that was the reason and the impetus behind his vision as opposed to depending on union pensions?
Well, just to be clear, we're talking about public agencies when we talk about Tier 6, not private businesses. And the majority of the public agencies are operating under budget. That's why overtime is out of control in a lot of these agencies. And sometimes it makes a lot of sense to pay overtime to have a whole new employee. But this state has to show some type of loyalty to the people who keeps it moving. And you show loyalty by giving them a pension that they can actually survive on. So I'm going to give you an example. If the way the pension is set up, the way Cuomo signed it, is that if you made $80,000, your pension is $80,000, you get half of that, $40,000 by the time you retire. The first Tier 6 person can retire in 2037. You cannot survive in New York City right now off of $40,000. In 2037, I can guarantee you that you cannot survive off of $40,000 in 2037. The state can afford it. They just refuse to be loyal to the people who put their blood, sweat, and tears to keep this city and state functioning.
So here's the question. Okay, so Cuomo is out. Are we better off with Mom Donnie, or would New York City have been better off with Cuomo?
Cuomo for sure. But I didn't choose Mom Donnie. I chose Sleep.
I know. I'm just asking because the reason I'm asking is because now that you got to deal with Mom Donnie, it's not just what you're saying about what he's doing. You could see this palpable fear you have about what he's going to do. What do you believe New York City is going to look like in the next couple of years with Mom Donnie under the path on the path that he's taking the city?
It'll be like a college campus. Like the real New Yorkers is going to be gone. It's going to be a whole bunch of people from other states coming to New York. I don't know, man. Like I'm a capitalist in some degree. Like I believe that, you know, the more work you put in, or I don't believe a doctor should get paid the same amount as a transit worker. I believe that, you know, the capitalist feature of this city is going to be gone. Like if everything is even, if they want to control everything through the government, there's no incentive to do anything. There's no incentive to own a home. There's no incentive to own a business. There's no incentive to do anything the way I see the trajectory of this city going up under his leadership is scary. Like, I don't even want to be here no more, but I'm not built like that. I'd rather stay in here and fight and get our city back. We have to get our city back.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm a little bit different from you. I already left. I already bought a house in Florida. I mean, I can't deal with this.
Wait.
But I mean, I still got a crib there.
You went to Florida on us?
I got a spot in Florida, my brother. I'm still in New York too, but I got a spot in Florida. I ain't apologizing for Tramiel. I ain't apologizing for it. Ain't no state income taxes. Warm weather and no state income taxes. Okay? And by the way, I'm on the Upper West Side when I'm in New York, and I got to pay taxes for driving down the street past 59th Street. I mean, come on. It's bad. It's bad, bro. You know that. You know that. It's bad.
That's Hochul.
That's him too, though.
How that's Mondami? That was done before him.
I'm just saying, because I think he supports anything that's taking money out of people's pockets. That's my issue with
him. There's enough blame to go around. We got to put the blame where it belongs. That was the governor.
That's fair.
We got to put it where it belongs. I could name 100 things wrong with what Mondami is doing. He's doing some good things too, but his attack on the middle class, that needs to be shut down immediately. He should not be using us.
I need you to pause on that, because I got that video too, how you went off on him about the middle class. Play that clip for me too, so everybody can see it.
All the Mom Domney supporters keep saying this is just a tax on mansions and millionaires. Yeah, that's not exactly how estate taxes work. The government just don't look at your house. They look at everything you own when you die. That includes your 401k, IRA, savings accounts, investments, life insurance. Yes, life insurance too. But wait, it doesn't stop there. Your estate can also include cars, business ownership, stocks, bonds, rental properties, cash in the bank, even things like jewelry, collectibles, art, crypto, and sometimes pension benefits. So let's use a very normal New York example. House, $750,000. Retirement, $300,000. Savings, $50,000. That estate is now worth $1.1 million, which means $350,000 of it becomes taxable. And the proposed tax rate, 50%. That could mean roughly $175,000 in taxes before the family inherits anything. And then people say, relax, it's only taxed on the amount above $750,000. But before this proposal, the exemption was $7.1 million, meaning most families would have paid zero. So no, this isn't just about mansions. It's about everything you spent your entire life building and what happens to it when you die. Tax the rich is only a slogan because they show you numerous ways they could tax the middle and working class. But let's be clear about something. The middle class should never be used as political fodder. Working people are not bargaining chips. Workers spent 20, 30, 40 years building something for their families. A home, retirement, maybe a little savings. That's not wealth. That's called the lifetime of work. So when politicians start designing policies to go after that, that's not progressive. That's anti-worker. And if you're targeting assets union workers spent their whole lives building, then yes, you're anti-union too. Because the middle class should never be sacrificed so politicians can score ideological points.
You know what's the fascinating thing about that is that the people who voted for Mom Domney, and they was telling me, well, you know, if they don't want to have to pay those taxes, they could put the money in the trust. Isn't this what we blamed all the rich folks for doing, hiding their money so they won't have to pay taxes? Then we just blame them for that. Now you're telling the average Joe and Jane who owns a modest home for $750,000 that they should be able, they should hide their money in trust so they won't have to pay the taxes? The double standard here is insane.
I want to be fair to Mom Donnie before we get on out of here. And thank you for your time. I got a couple of questions left for you. You said, Mom Donnie, everything he's doing is not bad. What is he doing that's good?
I think that the universal child care, I think that was a good thing. I think that was a good thing. It's not much that he's doing. I think the universal child care thing was a good thing. Even though he's trying to tout it as free, nothing is free. The taxpayers is paying for it. But that's the only thing that he has done good right now. But I don't want to paint him and say everything he's doing is bad. He did that one thing good that I could think of right now. Cleaning up the potholes, I guess that's good. I don't drive in New York City. I refuse to drive in New York City. No parking. He wants to expand parking on cars. He want to slow down the speed limits. This city is
oh
a...
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, you know, I don't believe... The war against cars is insane, too. You know, they don't want no cars in New York City. You know,
That's true.
Had the city bike stuff.
They want them damn bikes.
But this is the crazy thing. Me being a transit vice president, when you think of bikes, they got these bikes on bus lanes. That's an accident waiting to happen.
Yes.
And then they just minimized the penalty. Like, bikers don't have to abide by no rules. They trying to get people killed. And then if a bus does come in contact with a bike, the bus driver gets in trouble, serious trouble. They could lose their job. They could get arrested. It's about to be anarchy.
But the bike rider don't get. But the bike rider don't get in any trouble when they run into somebody because they got them damn motors on these bikes going about 30, 40 miles an hour. You understand? And they just roll them. I can't stand them bastards. Oh, I swear to God. Sometimes I want to clothesline them. I'm saying I'm walking in the streets of New York and they just speeding by people and stuff. And it's prime for robberies too. Because how you gonna catch them? How you going to catch them? You see what I'm saying? If they walk by a woman and snatch a pocketbook or anything like that. All of that stuff, Tramell.
I think, yeah, absolutely. I think that there needs to be stronger enforcement with those scooters, those bikes. We just seen some kids on a scooter recklessly shoot at some guy and kill the 7-month-old baby. Something needs to be done in this city regarding that. Crime is out of control with these scooters. Like you said, they don't obey traffic laws. They do whatever they want, and it's just getting worse. And Mom Domney is not helping in that aspect. And you know what the funny thing is? He follows me on Twitter. He doesn't chime in. He doesn't say, Tramiel, good idea. He doesn't say anything. I don't know, man. Like, I'm ready for the fight. I'm a
Yo, bro, Tramiel.
Yeah.
I pursued him for an interview. He never came on until Cuomo came on. Andrew Cuomo sits there with me for 45 minutes. I interview him. And then Mamdani listened in on the interview and then called me with 8 minutes left in my show. So I got to squeeze in a couple of questions. He promised he would come on. I'm still waiting. That's what he did. So I would ask you this. If Mamdani keeps his word, and we hope that he will, and you had a couple of questions that you wanted me to make sure I asked him on behalf of New York City, bro, what would you like me to ask him?
Why are you using the middle class fighter to hold Kathy Hochul accountable? Why draw your line in the Seth Hochul and say that if you don't get this money from whoever you need to get it from, the rich, whoever you may say, the wealthy, whoever it may be, we're not going to support you next election. There's nothing more stronger than that. There's nothing more prolific than holding a politician accountable without using using the middle class as political fodder. That would never work with me. And Mamdani never had a job a day in his life. So he don't understand this hustle and bustle of real is of getting up every day, busting your behind, trying to avoid discipline, try to make it to the end of your career to get a pension. The tier 6 pension is trash, so you ain't gonna be able to retire. Thanks for Cuomo. But he doesn't understand. And it's a shame on New Yorkers. How can you vote for someone who has absolutely no experience? No experience to the average New Yorker. And I dislike the grifting by Mamdani. He going to these communities, oh, Pop Smoke this and Jada kissed this, and black folks fall for it all the time. Let's start using the ideology. What have you done for me lately? What have you done for me lately? If a politician did not do anything for you lately, they can't point to anything that they have done for you. Don't give them your vote at all. And that's one of the reasons I supported Sliwa, was because he cares about crime in the subways. I am a labor activist for the subways. I represent subway workers, 8,000 of them. So I could relate to his fight. He showed me how he cared about the subways. That's why he got my support. I didn't give it to Mamdani, and I didn't give it to Cuomo because of Tier 6. As simple as that. But Cuomo was the man in the race. If he didn't do that Tier 6 thing, he would have had my support. As simple as that.
Last question for you. Mamdani trolled Trump, went after Trump, did all of this other stuff while campaigning, then went up to the nation's capital asking the man for $21 billion, all right, for affordable housing in Queens, near Astoria and all of that, which I'm very familiar with because one of my favorite spots was the Neptune Diner. Are you good with that? Are you good with that approach that he's having?
Well, I guess that he has to do what's good for the city. And, you know, where he was saying bad about Trump was only for everybody was anti-Trump. It's cool to say that you're anti-MAGA, you're anti-Trump, you're anti-Republican. It's the cool thing to say. But then you got to go down to Washington with your hand shaped like a cup, begging Trump, say, hey, you know, I said all these bad things about you, but can you help me out in my city? And I've met Trump one time. I've seen Trump plenty of times, you know, with his ideology on TV. He's going to make you beg and come down there on all fours to get what you want. I believe Trump loves New York City, but he don't love Mamdani. He gonna have Mamdani eating out his hand sooner or later. He has to humble himself.
Bottom line is this. I don't give a damn how much he loves New York City. He don't love nothing more than Trump, meaning Trump himself, Trump name, Trump casinos, Trump hotels. As long as he's got Trump on there, he want everything. He probably want Penn Station named Trump Station. I mean, this guy's unbelievable, all right? But it is what it is. Yo, Tramiel Thompson, thank you for your time. Know that you're welcome on this show anytime, my brother. I'm going to open things up, have panel discussions. We talk about a lot of different things going on throughout this country. Got a lot of respect for you, a lot of appreciation for who you are and what you're doing. I love your videos, man. Keep them coming. I'm going to keep dropping as much shine on you as I possibly can. Very, very proud of you, my man. Keep up the great work.
Listen, I need you to get into the subways and do a reel with me one of these days. That's what we got to do.
Done. consider it done. I was taking the E train and the F train growing up. Took the F train from 179th Street, took the E train from 169th Street, always took it to the city. There's a J train in Brooklyn, also. I ain't have to do that too much. But the E train and the F train was basically me, the Q2 bus taking me from Hollis to the train station. I ain't been on there in years, thank the good Lord, because I don't want to do public transportation like that. But damn it, for you, I will come into the subway station. We will definitely do a video from the subway station sooner than later. You have my word. I promise you that. We will make that happen.
I appreciate that. Thanks for the platform, and thanks for highlighting me and sharing my content. I really appreciate you. Thank you.
No doubt. Always. The one and only Tramell Thompson right here with Stephen A. SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports. I'm sorry, Straight Shooter with Stephen A. Listen, the brother's doing special things, and he's calling it out. And he highlights stuff with facts about Mom Donnie, about New York City, about Governor Hochul, the whole nine. New York City is a mess. I'm a native New Yorker. You see the background? Listen, let me tell you, I don't give a damn where I'm at, what I'm doing. I'm always in New York. I still got a spot in New York. My family's still in New York, Queens and Long Island, okay, and the Bronx, all right? I mean, I don't like what I'm seeing. I don't like what I'm seeing, and I don't think it gets any better. And I think the only hope for it to get better is cats like Tramell Thompson staying in people's ass. It's just that simple. So I just wanted to say that and highlight it. Started the show off talking about Trump and all the people that he's turned against him and all of that stuff. But I wanted to end and want to transition to Mom Donnie and Hochul, because you got people turning against what's going on in New York City, and rightfully so. The theme of it all is that chaos reigns, and it's continuing to proliferate. And the only way we're going to be able to do something about it is if we have cats like Tramell Thompson calling folks to the carpet, along with some of the other people that's ready to call Trump to the carpet as well. Hell, you have people talk about they're going to change from Republican to vote Democrat, just to get back at the Republicans. Ain't my cup of tea. I ain't flowing with them off of that level. Yeah, I'm not talking about Trump. I'm talking about changing things and going all crazy because you don't like what you're seeing. But the point is, something has to be done. Being inactive, not mobilizing, not being strong with it, not saying what the hell needs to be said is no longer acceptable. Silence is not an option, ladies and gentlemen. Silence is not an option. Thanks to everybody that I featured. Thanks to Tramell Thompson for coming on the show. That's it for this edition of Straight Shooter with George Truly. I'll let you in a few days. Peace and love, everybody. Enjoy your weekend.